We do hope that everyone enjoyed their family get-togethers with not only family, but friends and neighbors or whoever you were able to enjoy Thanksgiving Day with a great meal and all the festivities that go on. Well, of course, we don't want to just be thankful on Thanksgiving Day. We want to be thankful every day for the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. And so it would be fitting for us to study today from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, concerning where are the nine? That was the question that Jesus asked the one leper who returned to give thanks. And so we'll want to begin our study there in Luke 17, 11 through 19 in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And there is nothing more important than doing just that. Well, is there? We all are to answer, well, of course not. So the initials PFE, let's keep that in mind. So we'll bring that to our attention every day, preparing for eternity. Now we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville as we're studying God's precious word in our Bible classes. Well, of course, we need to be doing that. And then as we come together to worship God, we need to be doing so in spirit and in truth. We need to have a proper attitude. But we also need to follow God's pattern that is given us in the New Testament and how we're to worship Him. John 4:24. Now, I can assure you that you will be very well received. We love to have visitors. And something else to mention, if you would like to have a Bible study where we sit down together and open up God's Word and certainly apply it to our lives, yes, we look forward to those opportunities, so let us know. We'll set it up at your convenience. We also have Bible correspondence courses available, free of course. And if you have Bible questions, you can send those to us, and comments, positive or negative, we will appreciate those. So here's the address again. It's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address where you'll find our radio sermons going back a number of years and our bulletin articles and other information there. So that is www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study this morning. Luke 17, 11 through 19. Let's just go ahead and read that. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? there are not found that return to give glory, to give glory to God, save this stranger. Notice verse 19. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. So, how tragic it would be to have the disease of leprosy. And there are still leper colonies in India especially, and other countries as well. Now, of course, they're isolated from the general population because of the possibility of spreading the disease to others. How tragic it would be, though, to be guilty of the sin of ingratitude. That is even worse than having leprosy. So let's study together from what we just read in Luke 17:11-19. What did the 10 lepers have in common? Well, of course, they all had the same disease of leprosy. Verse 12. In Leviticus 13:2-3, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priest. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. Well, leprosy starts out small, but ends in death. And we can compare this to sin, could we not? In Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Starts out small, but it ends up in spiritual death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, leprosy is a type of sin. Yes, it causes separation. In Isaiah 59:1-2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So, that's something to keep in mind. Sin separates us from God, as leprosy separated those who had it from the general population. Now, something else that they had in common, they were all unclean and stood afar off, verse 12. Notice Leviticus 13:45-46. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare. He shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, Unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone without the camp, shall his habitation be. How tragic. But here's something else they all had in common. They all came to the right person. God in the flesh had the power not only to heal these men of leprosy, but he had the power to heal them spiritually. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Something else they had in common, they all cried for the same thing, for Jesus to have mercy on them, verse 13. Notice Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Well, this is the new birth. In 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Notice that. Begotten us again. This is the new birth. In John 3:5, what did Jesus tell Nicodemus? Notice, he answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." In Ephesians 5:26, washing of water by the word is one saved. Baptism, immersed, a burial. This is how we're born again spiritually. And of course, the word is how we know what God would have us to do. Yes, the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, inspired the word of God. Now notice, they were all told the same thing to do, something else they had in common, to go show themselves to the priest. Verse 14. Now notice Leviticus 14:2. This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. Well, another thing they had in common. Again, verse 14, they all received the same blessing. Jesus healed them after they obeyed his command. They turned and went to go to the priest. It was on their way that they were healed. Now, Acts 22:16, remember what Ananias said to Saul, "And now why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." We have to obey the gospel of Christ to have salvation. Having heard the word and repented of our sins, made the good confession, then we're ready to be baptized, immersed into Christ, where we contact his precious blood that washes away our sins. That's calling on the name of the Lord. As we study this, that's submitting to his authority. So we receive the blessing of salvation when we obey God's commands. We don't earn our salvation, but we must submit to the will of God and obey the gospel. Yes. But let's ask another question. Why did only one of the healed lepers return to give thanks to the Lord? Only one out of the 10. 9 Jews were indifferent because their mind was on what? The physical. Did not these Jews believe that they were religious and okay in God's sight? Well, no doubt they did. But in God's sight, our Lord's sight, they were not okay. And how many people today see themselves as good religious people in the eyes of God, but are more concerned with the physical than the spiritual? As Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Yes, the physical will be taken care of, but we need to put the spiritual first. We don't want to be led astray, as Satan uses 3 avenues of temptation: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These are temptations, are things Satan puts before us. 1 John 2:15-17, as he did with Eve in the Garden of Eden, as he did with Jesus in Matthew 4. Same 3 temptations. Now, the one that returned was a Samaritan, as they were not looked favorably at all by the Jews, were they? No. Remember the woman at the well in Samaria, Jacob's well? She was surprised Jesus even spoke to her, because she was a Samaritan. But he was grateful, this Samaritan, and returned to show his appreciation to the Lord, verses 15 and 16. Yes. And Jesus gave a parable about the good Samaritan, did he not? in Luke chapter 10, the only gospel account that gave this parable of the Good Samaritan is found in Luke. Notice verses 30 through 37. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Well, the lawyer said, the one that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. We need to study that maybe some other time, but you see the point here. The Samaritan was the one that did what was right. A man in need is our neighbor. And he realized that and took care of the man. So how were the Samaritans, though, viewed by the Jews as being unacceptable to God? But how did God see this Samaritan? He was the only one thankful and thus the only one acceptable to God. Verse 19 in our text. Yes, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. He did what Jesus said. That's right. He wasn't healed until he did what Jesus said. Keep that in mind. Now we go to our next question, which is what Jesus asked this Samaritan. Where are the 9? Jesus asked this question knowing the answer. Of course, he knew it. And therefore, we should realize this question is for our admonition, for our learning today. Which is the greater blessing? To be healed of leprosy in this temporal life, or to be saved from eternal damnation? Easy to answer that question. Of course, we want to be saved from eternal damnation. It's the greater blessing. 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Where are the others on Sunday night, on Wednesday night, when we have a gospel meeting or a lectureship nearby that's being held by a sound congregation? Where are the others? Were they not washed in the blood of Christ? You see, ingratitude can be the first step to full apostasy. That's right. Ingratitude. This is the sin that we're looking at in our study today. And so here's the next question that needs to be asked. How thankful am I? Bob Hawkins, how thankful are you for your physical blessings? Well, should we not all ask ourselves this question? Jesus is our example. Mark 8:6, and he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks, and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them, and they did set them before the people. Jesus gave thanks. How thankful am I to God? Bob Hawkins, how thankful to God are you for the Father in heaven sending his only begotten Son to die on the cruel cross of Calvary, to live a life in the flesh, which he did perfectly without sin, and thus he became the Lamb of God for not only me, but for all of us that have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Hebrews 2:9. How do I respond to the love of God? Well, how about you? John 3:16, we all know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's true love, isn't it? To love those who do not love back. So many do not. But God gave his Son for everyone who's been living on this earth and sinned. That's right. How do I respond to the love of God? How thankful am I for my salvation? Acts 8:39, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. What about the Philippian jailer and his household? Acts 16:34. Were they not rejoicing? How did I feel when I was baptized? I felt a relief of a burden that was lifted off of my shoulders, and cried like a baby. I need to keep that memory as long as I have a sound mind. Never forget it. And be thankful every day for my salvation. What about you? How thankful am I for my Christian fellowship? 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all towards each other aboundeth. That's the way it should be in the congregations of the Lord's church. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything giving thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, notice Colossians 3:15-17. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Giving thanks, having gratitude for what we have in Christ. We don't want to be guilty of the sin of ingratitude, do we? Well, let's be sure that we're not. As the sin of ingratitude leads to the following. Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Is that not what's happening today with people who want to push the hypothesis of evolution, that a child in the mother's womb is just a glob of tissue, and if your life is not, you know, in pain, and they want to have mercy killings and current situation that's being pushed that is ungodly, that is the results of being unthankful to God. You see what goes on in their imaginations become vain. Their foolish heart was darkened when they're not thankful. And how many people are in that situation today? They've left God out completely. And whatever sounds good to them, transgenderism is being pushed. Young people are being indoctrinated to think this is a choice to change your gender. There's only two genders, and you stay with the one that God gave you. Period. Why are so many people getting away from common sense? It's because they don't know God. They don't know His will. And they don't understand what's going to happen when they stand before God unprepared. So let's be sure we're not guilty of the sin of ingratitude. Our thanksgiving and gratitude to God needs to be expressed not only in our prayers, but in our daily walk of life. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Colossians 2:6-7. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Is He a welcome guest? Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you had your sins washed away by the blood of Christ? If not, why not? We stand ready to assist you in studying further, opening up the Word of God, and seeing conversions in the book of Acts. What did they do in order to become a child of God? We need to do the same. After the church began there in Acts chapter 2, we understand that they heard the Word, they repented of their sins, and they made the good confession unto salvation, stating that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. And they were baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, as you see there in Acts 2:41. And the Lord added them to His body, the true church, the church of Christ. He died for the church. He purchased His with His precious blood. Of course He's going to add us to His body, the true church, when we obey the gospel. Acts 2:47. Now we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel of Christ. Not man's gospel, but the gospel of Christ. And after we obey the gospel, we need to live faithfully even unto death. And we'll have the victory. We thank you so much for listening today.